Pleased now to be joined by a special friend, does a terrific job, Tennessee Titans play-by-play announcer, Mike Keith. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Jimmy, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. So the Titans, interesting situation with them, certainly a tough game against New England, but they have been beset by a lot of injuries. What's the injury status for the Titans going forward this weekend?
Better. Yeah. I think that's the key word. Better is the key word. We've got some guys who have come back. Julio Jones is practicing now. We'll see if we can activate him from the injured reserve. Dane Cruikshank is practicing, and he's an important part of some of our coverage packages in the secondary, also a really good special teams player. Racy McMath, the rookie from LSU, may be ready to come off of injured reserve and play. Jeremy McNichols back in the backfield, Nate Davis at right guard, Rashawn Evans at linebacker. Just some guys that we have just not had in terms of regulars who actually play football for us and give us some good depth. They're back at this point, and we're certainly hopeful that all those guys will progress through practice and will be able to play Sunday against Jacksonville. And then I think you'll see us add 3, 4, 5 more guys over the next 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So not everybody's back this week, but we're better. And the really good news is the guys who are playing, who have been playing, who were dinged up, now they're more healthy as well.
Ryan Tannehill has not been at his best lately, and I wonder, does he just simply have to play better, or do you think that that he's been hurt by not having his complement of a supporting cast?
That's it. You know, we said before the season that the Titans had the four horsemen, and that was Tannehill, Henry, Jones, and Brown. To this point, we've got a horse man. You know, when you don't have the best running back in football, when you don't have a future Hall of Fame wide receiver, and when you don't have your regular Pro Bowl guy, you're hurting. And I mean, let's face it, you can do it with different people, and we do at different times, but the reality is you've got to have help, and that's really what it comes down to more than anything else.
So he's the lone horseman.
He's just a horseman, not even the electric horseman.
What about the running game? There's some good yards, you know, Hilliard and yeah. Foreman. Some of those guys did a good job in terms of yards against the Patriots. What do you see of that group moving forward?
Well, and that's exactly right. I mean, we rushed for 270 against the Patriots. So, you know, that's a good thing. Obviously, the offensive line did a good job. Our tight ends blocked, our receivers blocked, our backs ran well. That's a good thing because if we can keep that up, that's sort of who we are, but it also sets up play action. And when we get in a situation where we just have to drop back and throw, that's not where we are at our best at that point. That's not really what we're built to do. You know, some teams are built to throw it 50 times, and some teams are built to, you know, throw it 30 times, and that's really what we want to do. We want to run it probably a little bit more than we throw it, and the play action is a big part of it. So being able to have that run game, I think, would be a huge factor in all.
Mike, I know you can't totally remove it from the equation. It's not in a bubble, but outside as much as you can, outside of those injuries, what are some of the things that Shane Bowen, Mike Vrabel want to do to try to improve the defense overall and give them some better play here down the stretch?
Well, some of it, I mean, it's got to start for us, in my opinion, with being able to stop the opponent's run game. Last time we played against Jacksonville, they rushed for 198 against us. Mm-hmm. We've got to get back to more four-man pressure. Four-man pressure had become the staple of this defense over the six-game win streak. Yes, we can blitz, but we were able to get there with four. We haven't been able to do that in the last two games, and part of that is personnel and rest and all of these things. Part of it, too, is not falling behind. You know, when we fell behind Houston the way we did, they didn't have to take any chances. Every pass was a three-step drop, and the ball was coming out very quickly. You know, that's the type of stuff that it's hard to factor in to making a defensive game plan when you can't put somebody behind the sticks. One thing we were doing well is we were getting ahead. And, you know, that's what we want to get back to. We want to get back to, you know, taking care of the ball, getting leads, being able to play our style of game, and forcing opponents to play our style of game. When you think about this, Vince, think about our game with the Rams where we made them play our style of game, and they couldn't do it. Now, if we had been in a 42-35 game with them, we got no chance. But if we're doing what we do, then we can beat anybody, particularly when we're more healthy.
I guess Mike Keith, Tennessee Titans, if you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Mike, the Titans had a run of beating really good playoff teams from the year before. And then they, of course, New England handled the Titans. But going forward, there's Jacksonville, and Jacksonville is not one of the better teams in the NFL. Any way to explain the Titans struggling against the Jets and the Texans from earlier in the season?
Sure. When you stink it up, you lose. You know, that's what happens in the NFL because they're professional football players. They're well coached. There is no homecoming game in the NFL. There is no, you know, FBS against FCS kind of matchup. There's just no such thing. And the Titans played so poorly. If they play poorly against Jacksonville on Sunday, they'll lose. That's the lesson in all of this that the Titans have to get back to, is when you make mistakes, when you have bad penalties, you have turnovers, you miss opportunities, you will lose. And you will lose to whomever it is you're playing. The Titans gave both of those games away because, and I say that not to take anything away from the two teams, but when you don't give yourself a chance, and that's what the Titans did, when you don't give yourself a chance and you play that poorly, that's what happens every time in the NFL.
Was there anything from New England's passing game against Buffalo that the Titans can use against Jacksonville?
Well, we'll analyze all three passes, and we'll try to break them down.
How many were four-man pressures, Mike?
Those were and see, this is what makes Belichick the best coach of our generation and maybe the greatest coach in NFL history, is he saw a path to win a game. He gets the lead. He's smart enough to go for two because he knows you've got him off balance. They're expecting you to come in and kick the extra point. Instead, you send the offense out there and go get a two-point conversion. That late in the game is a big deal because Buffalo had to go for it instead of being able to try a tying field goal. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Belichick's whole thing is he just says, you know what, if we can run it 80 times, we'll do that. If we have to throw it 80 times, we'll do that. Against us, they threw the ball a lot more than anybody thought they would. And that's what his game is. It's phenomenal how he is willing to totally change his game plan, offensively or defensively, based on one idea, and that is, how do we win this game? That's it. How do we win this game? That's all we want to do. That is great coaching in my mind.
Mike, I haven't compared the videos, but I bet if you go back and show the reaction shot of Bill Belichick after all the Super Bowl wins, he may have had a better reaction after that win than half, at least, of those Super Bowl wins.
Sure, because his team went out and executed. They shouldn't have won the ball game. I mean, Buffalo's at home. Everybody wants Buffalo to win. Everybody's fired up. You know, it's a tough place to play. Buffalo has a really fine team. You go in there, you've got incredible elements, you had a game plan, you executed your game plan perfectly, and you won. And now you control the division again, and you control the conference. That's a huge win for the New England Patriots. They got more work to do, but that's a huge win for them.
Mike, you and Vince touched on this earlier, but the fact that the Titans ran for 270 yards against New England, now they had the three fumbles by the running backs, but how encouraging is that? To know that this rushing attack, even without Derrick Henry, could be that productive.
It's very encouraging. It's very encouraging that they knew we were going to run it because they knew we had problems in the passing game due to a lack of receivers, and we still lined up and pounded it at them. And the offensive line played well. They have a really good defense, really mm-hmm. good defense. And so to be able to do that, it's certainly very encouraging. Now, how do you build off that? That's what we have to do, is be able to build off of it.
Mike, with the remaining schedule for the Titans, I know you got to take care of business with Jacksonville first, but Steelers, 49ers, Dolphins, Texans after that. What do you feel about those teams that are still on the schedule for Tennessee?
Well, Houston beat us, so they've got our attention. Miami's won 5 in a row. San Francisco's playing their best ball of the year. And everybody left Pittsburgh for dead, and what happens? They beat the Ravens. So, I mean, we know what we're up against. I mean, it's going to be a lot of work. The thing we have to focus on right now is we've lost 2 games in a row, and we've scored 13 points in each of those games. And if we keep playing like we did, Vince, we're probably not even going to the playoffs. So we've got to find a way to get back on track doing what we do and beat Jacksonville this week. And I think it's just as important to find a way to win the game by playing smart football, by playing clean football, than it is just to win. I mean, if the Titans win the game, that's great, and that's the number one answer. But the real step would be if they do it in the way that they did it on October 10th at Jacksonville, where they won by playing smarter, by winning every key situation, by being sharper at the key moments. That game was a template for what the Titans can be, and it started the 6-game win streak. And that's what we need to do here.
Are the Colts starting to play like you expected them to play going into the year?
Yes. Yes. I mean, they have a really, really good football team that has sort of figured it out. They're going to be dangerous the rest of the way. They can win every game they play the rest of the way. They would be a team that you would not be terribly interested in playing in the playoffs because of their style of football travels. And what I mean by that is when you can run it like they do, you can beat anybody. And that's going to be the challenge with the Colts the rest of the way.
Joined by our special guest, Mike Keith, Tennessee Titans. Mike, the Titans are taking on Jacksonville. Give me your thoughts on the progress of Trevor Lawrence.
Hard to tell much based on who's playing around him right now. Jimmy, mm-hmm. They had DJ Chark, who was supposed to be his deep threat, and he goes out early in the year. And even before then, Travis Etienne from Clemson is going to be his changeup back, who can catch the ball and really give him speed, and he gets lost for the year. And then they go get a tight end from Carolina by the name of Dan Arnold, and he's playing great for him, and now he's out for the year. So it's really hard to tell very much. I think you could do more things with him in an RPO style, which he does well. The problem with an RPO style is it leaves your quarterback open to more shots. If I'm Shad Khan, the owner, I'm not sure that I want to do that.
Yeah.
Because what the biggest thing that he needs to come out of this year with is his health.
Yeah.
He'll learn. They'll get better. But my goodness, he's taken some shots and he's taken some punishment. And, in terms of their personnel, they just don't have a lot of speed on offense. They have not scored over 23 points in a game this season.
Yeah.
And the key for Jacksonville, if they want to win on Sunday, is they need to make it a rock-throwing game like 17-14 or 16-13 or one of those. That's what we don't want. We want to get ahead of them, make them have to try more things than they want to try, and then be able to work on them a little bit more.
Vegas odds, they favor for the Super Bowl Tampa Bay, then Kansas City, then Green Bay, then they bracketed New England and Arizona. Is that about the way you see it right now?
Sure. I think so. I think the defending champions, the defending two-time AFC champions, with it being as even as it is, you know, Indianapolis could win the whole thing. The Los Angeles Chargers could win the whole thing. The Dallas Cowboys could win the whole thing. It's really a season that's so great. If you're the NFL in New York, you're loving this. TV ratings are up 7%. Since the TV season began at the end of September, 47 of the top 50 television programs are NFL games. Think about that. 94% of the top programs are NFL games, and the reason is because of the competitive nature of it. You just don't know what's going to happen. But if I'm picking favorites, yeah, that's who I'm picking, Tampa Bay and Kansas City to start with, sure.
Mike, what were a couple of your favorite My Cause, My Cleats from any of the – actually, the Titans didn't participate. What, are they going to make that up since they were off last week?
Yes, we do get that opportunity to do that.
Okay.
And, you know, that's kind of a cool deal that we, you know, we have that ability to do the My Cause, My Cleats. And I think that's a special thing for a lot of people. You know, Ben Jones does a lot through the Jones Mission. They do a lot of things with after-school programs and food and school supplies. Tommy Hudson, the Pat Tillman Foundation, obviously he's an Arizona State guy, so that makes a ton of sense. Kevin Byard with the Byard Family Legacy Fund, which is doing just amazing things. Ryan Tannehill with Lifewater International. He says he's seen hundreds of thousands of lives changed by providing clean water sources. Roger Saffold is doing Anxiety and Depression Association of America. You know, those are the sorts of things that you talk about. And even a kid named Dylan Radins, the Becker Youth Foundation, he knows youth sports, had a big impact on his life, and so he wants to help. All of those sorts of things are so great, and I think all of those things throughout the league are fantastic, and those are just a few examples.
Mike, what was your reaction to the Vols getting the Music City Bowl against Purdue?
Well, the good news for me is I'm about 25 minutes away, so it's very convenient. The bad news is I don't know if I can get a ticket. I'm working on that. I think it's big for Tennessee for two reasons. I think it's a great matchup to end the season. And Purdue has a nice program. They have a nice club. They've won some games. They've won some significant games. I compare it a little bit to the Pitt game early in the year, which was a measuring stick. Remember, everybody talked about that Pitt game. They said, you know, you get that one, it gets a little interesting. And Tennessee wasn't quite good enough to win that game. Pitt ends up winning the ACC, Tennessee just wasn't quite good enough. Now you're playing a team that on paper you might say is a little better. As a matter of fact, I think Purdue's a favorite to begin with. Well, are you good enough to go get these guys? Do you end it on the positive note? You know, is how you're playing something that you can carry with that momentum against what is a nice 8-4 team? The other part of it, too, is let's talk recruiting. The majority of the prospects in our state are in Middle Tennessee. We did the Tennessee Titans Mr. Football Awards yesterday, and there were all kinds, you know, the 30 finalists, there were all kinds of kids from Middle Tennessee. It's a population question because the majority of the population in the state is in Middle Tennessee when compared to the other two regions. You want to do well in East Tennessee, you want to do well in West Tennessee, but the higher volume of players in terms of numbers are here. The fact that Josh Heupel is going to get to spend a week in Nashville and that the majority of the publicity from that week is going to be about Tennessee, particularly because the Titans will have played the preceding Thursday. So there's not going to be as much Titans attention for the first 3 or 4 days that the Vols are here. That's spreading the good word about what Tennessee's done. And then an opportunity to beat Purdue, that can really be a big help to the 23 recruiting that I know is already going on in Middle Tennessee. As I talk to people at high schools, as I talk to parents, people I go to church with, Tennessee is living here for 2023. They are living here. They are beating down the doors knowing that they got a late start on the 22 group, so they want to get after 23. I think this could be a big springboard to them doing much better in Middle Tennessee in 2022 and in 2023.
Mike, you covered recruiting at Tennessee for many, many years before you went to the Titans. I know you still follow it. How important is it for Tennessee, do you think, to finally, I don't know if I'd say own the state, but they have lost a lot of great players in this state. How important is it for Tennessee to get back to where they want to go by getting the majority of the best players in the state of Tennessee?
It's massive. It's massive. It has to happen. I mean, there are too many great players that I see playing for NFL teams who are from Tennessee and went to schools other than Tennessee. And you're always going to lose some.
Right.
You know, that's going to happen. But if you look, like I said, if you look at the list of guys that were at Mr. Football yesterday from Middle Tennessee and where they're choosing to go, you know that the last group of coaches had lost so much ground here.
Mm-hmm.
And when Josh Heupel came in, there was no juice because there was, you know, there was all the stuff about the NCAA and they went 3-7. And a lot of these kids, too, who are 16, 17, 18 years old, have never known Tennessee as Tennessee. You know, it's just like some of the current players at Tennessee were dumbfounded by the enthusiasm of the crowd at the Ole Miss game. They had never seen it like that. They had never seen a full house, people rocking the stadium that way. That's Tennessee. That's what Tennessee's all about. I think Josh Heupel's restoring that. And I think people, they like this offense. Man, I want to be a Velus Jones. I want to be a Cedric Tillman. I want to be a Jabari Small. I want to be Hendon Hooker. They throw to the tight ends, man. You know, you've got stuff that you could do. Kim Banks, look at the way those guys played on defense. Look at the improvement in Matthew Butler. Look at the improvement in Jeremy Banks. Theo Jackson, where did he come from? Guys, he's got a shot to play in the league now. There's juice there. And to be able to see that out there again is going to be so massive because juice is a huge part of it. Tennessee developed juice late in the Johnny Majors era. Philip Fulmer took the juice part of it to a new level. And I think this group finally gets what they're going to have to do. And the state's where it's at to start with. You have a chance legitimately now to sign 10 to 12 players out of the state of Tennessee every year. Jimmy, when you and I were covering it mm-hmm. together in the 90s, there were some years there weren't 10 Division I prospects in this state.
Yeah.
Now, again, you can sign a dozen guys out of this state. And that's and to be able to do that, that has a chance to get Tennessee back on track faster than anything, with maybe the exception of the transfer portal, which I think has changed the game dramatically.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much. Great to catch up with you. Good luck against Jacksonville, and hopefully we'll have a chance to visit with you during the Music City Bowl week. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
I'll be around. Thanks.
All right. Mike Keith, Tennessee Titans.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.